Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 everybody. Hey, I just really missed you this week, but I knew you were like others. You was getting things ready for tomorrow, especially if you started on Good Friday yesterday. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to the Global Vision for Living Today. And hey, we got to admit what the Bible says is true. Without a vision, the people perish. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to be tomorrow. I don't know where I'm going to travel in 2 weeks. Without some kind of vision, your life would just elude you. You'll wake up, like my father, the great late Bishop James Howard Mims used to say, you'll wake up and find yourself dead. Well, we know that God cannot use dead folk. I guess, well, he might could to make an example to the ones still living. But while it is still day, while we are still alive to see the handiworks and the glory of God, we've got to ask ourselves, what does God want me to do with my life? And we've had this series because you guys tend to love it. And I see with all of the emails, text messages, still, there are some of you that need to have more instruction about what does God want me to do with my life. I've already been living it, but I'm not happy. I haven't accomplished anything. I haven't made it big in the world, like some would say. So, oh, my God, is there any hope for me? Well, of course it is. Of course it is hope. And because there is hope, well, what is hope? It is expectation of good. People say, oh, they sit in church, you know, all the time. Oh, well, I hope he does. I hope he does this. I hope she does that. Hope is no more than the expectation of good. So if you have girlfriends, if you have boyfriends, and I mean friends, not the sex kind. If you have girlfriends, boyfriends, mama, daddy, anyone, let them know that you are living hope that God has placed here on this earth. And we're going to find out again, what does God want me to do with my life? Not your uncle, not your brother, not your granddaughter. When you open this Bible up, he is talking to you. Now, if you want to take it further on down, you do that. But first, get your life in order. First, get your days ordered by God. Let God know that I'm here. Give me my marching orders. You got to do that first, or you will not be believed, and you might end up losing the subject that you're trying to captivate for God. What does God want me to do with my life? We see our host has just arrived, Colonel William Harrison. How are you doing today, Saturday, Colonel Harrison? How are you today?
Good morning, Dr. Cullerton. Good morning, Dr. Capitino. Listening audience, doing great by the grace of God. So it's just good to be on the air again with you and our listeners. Amen.
Yes, well, I tell you what, if God has given you grace, those listening is going to get some grace here today because they could be anywhere in the world, of course, if they had the money to do so. But right now, we're back to part five of what does God want me to do with my life, not what he wants you to think about doing, not what he wants you to pray to him about doing something. Anything we do around now, 2022, has got to be God-issued, God-ordered, God-ordained, and, of course, something that will allow us to praise and honor, respect, and lift up his holy name. Colonel Harrison, what does God want all of the creatures he created, even through procreation, to be doing right now with their life?
Well, what God wants to do with our lives, Dr. Capitino, listening audience, it's put him first in our life because he has a plan. God has a master plan for everything he has created, and mankind is God's highest creation, and he wants us to get in tune, get in step with that which he wants us to do while we are living in this span of years called life. And get to know who God is, get to know what God's purpose is for our lives, and then serve God through that purpose that he reveals and showed us that he has for our lives. And then we can live what is a good life, a wholesome life, and a constructive life during these years of life here on this place called Earth.
Oh, my God, that sounds wonderful, because, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about the disciples who, after the crucifixion, became known as the apostles. Oh, that's heavy. We're giving some homework out here because we're doing the talking to them. Now it's time for them to get into a word about what some of these words need to be. Now, let's go back to those 11. It was 12, but we know about the other. A three-year-old has heard the name Judas, so we're not going to waste any time talking about him, what he did. If anyone is interested in that, look it up. Go on to your computer and look it up. But now those 11, they too were called. We're called. Some of us are chosen, but those 11 were called also to give an example to those looking on as to what God would have them to do with their life. Well, at that time, what God wanted them to do was to get in behind. Don't get on the side. Don't try to beg him out of his red robe. Please don't try to get in front of him. All of us, all of them would have been dead. But this one told them, follow me. So when you're following someone, you in behind of them. That way you can look at them. You can you will have a bird's eye view of how they carry themselves in the world, because at that time there was no one coming around talking about, oh, I'm the Messiah. Oh, I'm the Son of God. I'm this and this and that. Only when Jesus, the one called the Christ, got on the scene, here come the copycats. But just like Gamaliel told them, the Supreme Court of Pharisees of that day, you better leave that one alone. Them other ones, they're going to die off. Leave them alone. If they really coming in the name of God, you know this is in Acts of the Apostles. He said, you don't have to worry about them. You better try to find out what they're talking about. But don't touch them. Touch the other ones. That one, those, them standing there, don't touch them. He said, because if they're not about God, I tell you what. And he named about five names. He said, all of them fell off. You know, they came and they tried, but eventually they had to fall off. That is where we are right now as wannabes, hope to be footstep followers of God. So right now I'm jumping in there with that. What does God want me to do with my life? To follow the one called Jesus the Christ. Follow. Follow. Don't get in his face with no nonsense. He came too from too high up all the way down. He'd been sitting around for billions of years. Don't do that. Follow, follow, follow. See what he's about. See what he's talking about. See how he made it. And we know in 3 years that's what he did. What does God want me to do with my life? I'm out there to say he wants us to follow in the footsteps of his son. Oh, well, you know, he's gone. He's deceased. He's dead. Bible says he's on the right hand of the Father looking down. Whatever. The spotlight now is on us. What does God want me to do with my life? Number one, you sure better find out how to do it. And Colonel Harrison mentioned last week, through prayer, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, I can't take it no more. I've done this. I've done that. I've been all over here. I'm talking trash over there. Ain't nothing happening. I'm scared to spend one night with my own daughter. Ain't nothing happening. So now we see we have been wronged. What does God want me to do with my life? Follow his son. That's not the number one thing. Colonel Harrison mentioned a couple of more items of interest on what God wants a man, me, you, mankind, to do with our lives.
Yes, Dr. Capitina. A couple more is to worship him, worship God. Worship God. We have to worship God. We have to get to know who God is. We have respect for each other and one another, people we know, family members, those of us who have children, and we respect them and we make over them. But with God is different because he's the creator. He wants us to worship him. That means that we will reverence him. We'll put him first in our lives before those who are married. Put him first in our lives, before husband, before wife, before children, before relatives, before boss, before friends, before associates, before money, before material things. God wants us to worship him. Put him first in our lives. And right now, God is on the back burner. We have put everything else first in our lives, brothers and sisters, that we have God. And how can we, and how dare we put the Creator on the back burner when he's responsible for us coming from our mother's womb? So we have to worship him. And we have to worship him.
Good.
And then we have to obey him when he gives us instructions. So worship him and obey him are two additional things I like to add.
Oh, my God, well, you did great, because I was just going there. I was going to say, okay, you're advising us to worship him. Well, what does it mean to worship God? And you said it. It means to praise him. It means to honor him. It means to glorify his name on earth through your conduct. It means to set a good example for man, because let me tell you something, before people even know who you are, just one look and they size you up. And when they get to know you, they will say, you know what, that's what I thought. We can't discount anybody because they may not be walking the streets with a sack of money, or they might not be living in a mansion or having their way, freeway in this life. So, yes, that surely is right. Put God first. Put him first. Don't put Baba Louie first. I swear you will hang your head and wish you was dead at what's coming down the pipe. We can't be everywhere and all things to everyone. So by worshiping God, putting him first, guess what he's going to do? He's going to put us first. You ain't got to say it but one time. You don't have to try to proclaim nothing more than two times. Worship and glorify God. Now, he ain't going to worship us, but he's going to make sure on this earth we are glorified. You're going to be about something. You're going to be somebody want to be with or talk to. You're going to be about being somebody that someone can say, you know what, I'm not coming if you ain't coming. I mean, that's setting a good example. People want to see an example of somebody they can follow. They're not going to follow a piece of paper hanging on the wall. They're not going to follow a somebody stating who they are and who they wish to be. Oh, I'm trying. Whatever we are about, we got to be about it now. Jesus told them, be about my Father's business, not Hoagland's business, not this one's business. Let the dead bury the dead. He said, those that I'm not calling, don't come to me crying about them. How do we know God is calling man? I tell you what, my father used to say this. If you have not heard them one time, say the name of Jesus. Say the name of Jehovah. And most ain't going to say that, because they really got to get almost in the middle of the Bible. Leave them alone. I swear, and my father's in his grave. He told me one day, he said, if you don't leave your mama and your sister alone, I'm going to leave you alone. And he meant that. And I loved him. I didn't want him to leave me alone. Now, what if an earthly man can say that because of the bad conduct? And I don't remember them really seeing them do anything bad. You know, they was talking crazy, but I knew where they was holding themselves up. I didn't want none of that. So I wasn't going to learn that by having my eyes look at how you learn things in the nail shop. You've been, you looking and watching. Your eyes taking that poisonous conduct. I didn't want that. I didn't want that, but I was already in another faith, so I can understand that. He said that. He actually said it. He named them by names. If you don't leave them alone, I'm going to leave you alone. And, of course, I can only shudder at what Jehovah thinks, the God of the universe. I can snap the life out of you within a second. And here's a worldly man saying that. And as we got more into it, he said, every time I hear something about him, it's bad. They ain't here in this church. They ain't in no church nowhere. He summed it up. And only after he left was I able to understand that. And I keep getting a taste of it. But when James Mim said a person was no good, that was time to run. You know, and he always would, you know, if he said that, he would tell you why. It was no, yeah, they ain't no good. So right now, that is another thing God wants us to do with our life. Live a holy life. The Bible says he's holy, He says, I be thee holy as I am holy. Look up the word holy. Yes. Very few can probably stand up to it. But Colonel Harrison, when you talk to some of your membership there in the metropolitan area, when they come to you crying about things that have happened in their lives, why this ain't working, you know, I want this, but I ain't got it, what do you advise them? Because I know you have to give them some advice that has to do with how they're living their life.
Yes. Excellent question, Dr. Capitina. I tell them to go to the Lord in prayer.
Hey.
Their problems, take their burdens, take their trials, take
go
their tribulations to the Lord in prayer.
Yeah.
Talk to the Lord about their problem. Tell them all about it. And then they got to be willing to turn from what they have, away from what they have done to cause them to get into the situation, the problems, the predicaments that they have. Take it to the Lord and give it to God. And then peace be still. Listen for instructions of God. Give them revelation instructions what to do about the problem. But they have to take it to the Lord in prayer. Have a talk with God and turn all that mess over to God.
You know what? You're on it. We had an experience in our ministry, and because I come out of that area of no foolishness zone, I was able to stand up with the mic and do some talking, and then I leaned back over and said, here, let me have that mic again. And this isn't about a boast, but don't nobody want to hear all of that, because if you got a problem, that's where you go. And if you got a problem, you haven't been there in the first place. You got a problem, you powerless to try to solve that. And some people is walking in darkness and don't care. Just give me a bite to eat and make sure my bill, two or three bills is paid and the rent man is, that's as far as they go. And we all know what Paul called them people. I won't mention it here for the sake of this ministry. But God expects us, as you said, to put him first. Pray to learn more about him. And then when you learn about him, do that. Show him that you're not a waste of time. There's millions out there that shall perish. And there's a good talk that millions have viewed it. It was given by Jehovah's Witnesses about 15 years ago. And every other month, I look it up just to read it again. It's the title of it is Millions Now Living Shall Never Perish. And they have, I don't know how many millions, because it tells you how many people have ran over there and read it. It's quite lengthy, but it's telling people how and why. And oh my God, it is very enthralling. If you want like a jolt of power in your heart from God, I would also recommend that, because it tells you if they're not going to die, well, why not? Where are they going? Oh my God, it is fabulous. So, to be included in God's jurisdiction of love, there's some other things that God wants us to do with our life. Now, if he wants us to do something with our life, there's some things he don't want you to do with it. Don't come to him then. Don't even crawl and beg him. If after we have received the good news of the gospel and we're still hanging around in the back alley. James Mims was not a witness. He was a Bible way. That was it. He said, ain't no different faith here. It's one Lord, one God. He was a master teacher. But now, Colonel Harrison, what is going to be the outcome of those that do not do what they know God wants them to do? Some people say, oh, yeah, I was raised in church. Oh, yeah, you know what? I used to be a preacher. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. My daughter is this and that and that. I get all my news from her. But he is not sending this kind of message out to them. He's sending it out to those that are listening. So let's talk about a couple more things that God wants us to be doing with our life. We'd have done everything else to fail. No credence in the world, no nothing. World don't even know you're alive. Let's name a couple more things that God, the Psalm 83:18, the God who says, I am Jehovah. I am the true God alone in all the earth. You might as well say in the universe too, because I was reading something saying that man didn't name the planets. Well, of course, we know with Jehovah everything. a piece of gum land chewed on the ground has a name. He said, everything I cause by name. What are some of the other things God wants us to do with our life?
He wants us to do good works. The good works that we do are works that things wherein we can consider others, the senior elders that live in our communities, or elders that maybe nearby at a senior citizen home, or elders that everybody seemingly has forgotten, that's up in age, 70, 80, and 90 years of age, and have need for food, and have need for shelter, have need for a prescription to be filled, and receiving a Social Security check that's not enough money to pay their rent and buy food and to make ends meet. So do good works by helping others, the elders and the homeless, those that are out there on the street living in squalls that can't help themselves. They are the ones that the world seemingly is looking over and passing by, that is begging for money and wearing the same clothes, don't have a roof over their head, food to eat, lack of proper bathing utensils or facilities and so forth and so on. So doing good works, we got to be concerned about those, the elders, be concerned about the homeless. We got to be concerned about those that widows and orphans that can't help themselves. We got to be our brother and sister's keeper in our community, and we know who they are. And why not use some of our resources to help them and stop being selfish? God is a giving God, loving God, and he wants us to help others who can't help themselves. That's what the 12 disciples were about, to go and tell about the good news about God's son Jesus, but also help others and have others teach others how to help themselves.
Yeah, you know what? You have sure got that good work thing there, but I don't know if I can find the scripture. You might can. There was a young ruler came, and he wanted to follow Jesus. And he said, well, no, I got to go home and take care of my father. It was something of that sort. I know you remember it. I'm walking out of reach for the Bible. He told them, no, leave them alone. He told them they got to go out. And I don't know the full makeup of that or what, but Jesus said, You are not getting nothing for taking care of your own father, your own mother, your own daughter, your own whatever. You get nothing from that. I know you know what I'm talking about, and you know that scripture.
Yes.
He said, but I done told you to go out. Whatever you done did for them, you done had 5, 6 years old, 18, when they got, hey, don't come to me telling me you got to do that. But see, the world that don't know God, they don't understand that. How you going to understand? Almost strangers saying, come on and follow me. And then you got to go over here, and I got to do, you know what? It just cringes my flesh when I hear it. But that's the world. That's the unsaved world that would even think like that. So I said, oh, my God, well, they haven't heard this, haven't heard that. He said, no, don't do it. I can't really quote it in the full aspect, but he said, I didn't tell you to do that. He said, I'm telling you to leave them alone. And that came up after what I was saying about Bishop Mims. He said, no. He said, you better get out of there. You better leave them alone. If they ain't seen enough examples that you were a spoonful of love, you really got, most people got to do, but no, I'm going to cuz. I'm going over here, and I'm that. Jesus said, uh-uh. He said, you can't put your hand on this plow and then waste my time looking back. I mean, it's really, and it's probably even worse now, because I know people are killing each other. Kids are killing mothers. I just read about that this morning. So right now, when we talk about what does God want you to do, and you already mentioned he wants you to obey. Don't come begging when the doctor tell you you got 2 days to live. Your begging time is up. It's time now to do what he said. What does God want me to do with my life? Learn of him, worship Jehovah, honor Jehovah, honor the Son, obey what they said. And he said, even then, and you quote it, it's going to be hard to get in to the fold. Did he not say that? He said, with all you do, even then, it is going to be hard for even someone calling themselves righteous to be a part of the kingdom of God. So right now, our main focus is not what God wants me to do for Jogo's life. Jogo was not created by me. I might can help him with a word. I might can help him with a piece of paper, a book, whatever. But what does God want me to do with my life? I'm telling you, I'm continuing like I'm talking like Jesus Christ. I want you to follow me. That means whatever you see me do, do that. Whatever you hear me say, do that. I don't want to hear after 2.5 years, you still can't do anything. Jesus had 3 years with them. He didn't have 1,000 years. So whatever those 12 minus the one had to learn, they had to do that then. He was with them night and day. Even I know they saw Jesus get in the lake and bathe up. Do that. There's no excuse not to do it. Now, who is it in this universe? And we got 4 minutes to say it. Who in this universe wants to keep mankind ignorant and unlearned, unlettered, on everything? They're hanging around there. I wish that we had time to add in that red robe, because there's something about that red robe. But can you answer that, Colonel Harrison?
Yes, say the question again, Doc, please, quickly.
This Satan, the one called Satan, he wants to stop people from doing what Jehovah said. And how does he do it? And the clue is in the garden, hanging around their line, telling one this and one that. Is it really
so?
He
does it through temptation, putting desires before us that can hurt us, hurt others, cause us to backslide, cause us to become separated from God. And he's the author of deception, and he's the enemy of God and the enemy of God's people. And so we got to be careful. That's why that disciple, his name escaped me. I'm not sure whether it was Doubting Thomas or whether it was Andrew that said he wanted to go back and bury his father, because the father had died. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. So we have
let
to move forward. When we allow temptation to take over us, we are doing dead works. We have to do good works. We can't do good works. If we do good works, God will be pleased, and we'll please God. We do dead works, it's going to hurt us and harm us and hurt others, because Satan is the number one enemy of God and God's people.
Yeah, and that's all you're going to get out of the dead. You wasting your time. That's all. If they dead, that's what can a dead man do? Bible says the dead cannot pray. You know what? This Bible is so real. And that's why the Global Vision for Living Today brings articles that are from the heart. And that's why some that have never seen this is on the line right now. I mean, we are straight shooters. You can't go out there playing with these people, because you are really playing with a life. And Global Vision for Living Today is no less than that. If you want to hear it like it is, if you want to hear it like Jesus said it, continue tuning in. We have nothing to gain. We are not charging anybody to be on the show, come on the show, listen to the show. We have nothing to lose. And if God wants anyone to follow his son and do great works, hallelujah, he's going to make a way. He's going to see that you do it. He's going to see that you do it in grand style. Oh, yes, he ain't no joke. He's going to see to that. Bishop Mims, I thank him, and I thank those that helped raise me in the faith, and I know you do too through the Global Vision for Living Today show. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. And next week, we're starting off on some things concerning our revival. Tune in then. Same day, Saturday, 8 a.m. God bless you. Have a great Sunday tomorrow. Amen.